Hello again. It's Cal Banyan with another podcast. I'm author, writer, hypnotherapist Cal, developer of the 5-Path Hypnotherapy System and 7-Path Self-Hypnosis. For more information about scripts, books, CDs, video programs, hypnosis sessions, visit our other websites at www.calbanyan.com. That's my blog. Most of you get this podcast by going there, but also this podcast goes out to other websites and you might have got it somewhere else, so that's why I'm telling you. And let's see, we got www.hypnosiscenter.com. That's our granddaddy of websites. Got a whole bunch of information about hypnosis and about our classes. And then our mega site, www.banyanhypnosismall.com, for all kinds of hypnosis information, products, training materials by many of the leaders in the field of hypnosis, not just little old me. All right, today's topic is how to choose a trainer or a hypnosis school. All right. This is such a big topic. I've had so many students come to me and say, man, I wish I would have known about you when I first started. Well, you know, you need to ask some questions. When you go searching for a trainer, you need to be proactive, and that means asking questions. Ask questions of those in the profession and of the potential trainer. Here are some simple questions you'd be advised to ask before you enroll in any hypnosis-related course. All right, I'm going to just run through them and make some comments here and there. And please feel free to send comments to the blog or email me your comments about what I'm saying. Here we go. Can the hypnosis school or instructor substantiate claims made about the training or about the organization behind the training? Ask if they, some of them, you know, it's, I don't want to, you know, say anything negative, but there's some people out there that are more hot air than they are knowledge. If they state that they're the founder of some huge, great sounding organization, ask them how many members are there and how many employees or staff do they have. You see, it's easy to call yourself the founder if there isn't anything there. I had this one person come to me who wanted me to back their program. It was a training program for a particular medical problem. And I went to their website where they were promoting their training, and it was the Great Association of Research for this medical problem. And he was the founder and, you know, the best known person in the world about it and all this stuff. And I simply emailed him and asked him those questions. I said, gosh, how many employees or staff do you have? And how many people belong to this organization? You see, I had a feeling it was more air than it was substance. And the person never wrote me back. You see, just ask them those simple questions. I mean, typically at any time at our center, we have at least 10 people on staff. Right now, we just relocated from Minnesota and we're building our staff back up. But it's normal for us to have a staff. When we say we have a center, we have a real center. Ask them how many clients are seen at their office each week. So many don't really know how to succeed. I've known people who've become trainers and they've never even seen a client. I know it's scary. I remember one person who said, oh, this is great. I'm a trainer and I might actually do some hypnosis while I'm at it. Oh, scary. Ask them how many clients are seen at their office each week. Ask about the quality of their program. Is the course NGH approved, or is it just, you know, something that they made up themselves? Now, there's nothing wrong with someone coming up with an original program, but perhaps, you know, if possible, they should have somebody look at it objectively and say, yes, we will approve it or not approve it. Okay. Ask them, is this a basic course, or do I have to you know, or is it an introductory course? I remember I train once or twice a year. I conduct training in Singapore, and there was this other trainer that came in, and his course was only like $400 for his course, and it was only 3 days. And then I got complaints about that trainer afterwards, because they found out that after the 3 days, they didn't get certification. Then they had to take another 3-day course and another course and so on. Get all the information up front. Find out what you're going to be able to do. Are you just going to be able to read scripts and hang a certificate on the wall? Or are you going to be able to do something more? You see, one of our graduates, Ed Wunder, what a great guy. He's so creative. As far as I know, he coined this term, script notist. And that's for people who have no more training than to be able to read a script. You want to be able to do more than that. And you, because the problem is, if you're a script notist, and let's say you have a script for stop smoking, what if someone comes in for chewing tobacco? What are you going to do? What if they come in for pain management? You want to have a real understanding of what you're doing so that you can apply it to a wide range of issues. Or you want to have a system like 5-PATH, for example, where once you learn 5-PATH, it's not just a series of scripts. You actually learn what you're doing and how to apply it systematically and successfully to a wide number of issues. Ask the potential school or trainer, how large are your classes? You don't want the classes to be too small or too large. You want to have at least 3 people in the class, because you want to hypnotize each other and get some practice as far as hypnosis with different people. Different people respond to the inductions differently. But you don't want to be in a class of 60 either, because you're just not going to be able to get your questions answered. No one's going to be able to observe your technique and help you out. 12, 14 at maximum, 20, 22, 23, 24, 25. And if they have that many people, they should probably have an assistant to help you out when you break for practice time. By the way, ask them, how much time during the class do we get to practice what we learn? I remember when I went through my first certification course, we only spent about 20 to 30 minutes practicing what we learned in class, which consisted of reading an induction a couple of times. In the courses I teach, there's hours and hours of practice, generally about 2 hours a day after the first day, and so there's many hours of practice. Practice builds confidence, and it allows you to know if you really understand the material. Someone might teach you an induction, and you think, oh, yeah, I got it. But then when you actually try to do it, that's when you start having questions. Okay, so ask them, how much practice time is available during the course? Now, let me ask you this. Are video courses the best way to go? All things being equal, live is better. This way you can get your questions answered and the instructor can correct problems and technique right away. You see, live is better. Now, if you're already certified, then video is an excellent way to go to what? To get more information, to add to techniques, to get specializations. But when you're first starting out, when you get that certification course, if at all possible, go see a well-known an experienced trainer who can help you out in a live classroom. Also, I would recommend that you ask this. What kind of supplementary materials are offered? Supplementary materials are books, CDs, DVDs that either reinforce what was taught in the course or go deeper into the material or expand the material. Okay. Now, I plan on talking about this later, but let me just say it now. Another thing, ask the teacher, will I have to buy anything, or does the tuition for the course cover it all? I made the decision when I set up our program that the tuition would provide everything that the student needs. They can walk out of the door. They've got the manuals. We've also got some other materials, CDs that we include in the course. So they walk out. They can get started. Now, I didn't want to get someone in the class and say, oh, and by the way, now you have to buy this $300-$400 worth of material to get your certification. That's just not right. It's not fair. So get that information right up front. But of course, a good school and a good trainer would always offer supplementary materials. There's only so much you can get from a 100-hour course or a 200-hour course or whatever it is. You want to have materials available to you that you can select if you want to, that will either reinforce what was taught in the course. For example, a videotape of the entire course. Wow, wouldn't that be great? You could go home a week later, a month later, you could watch that videotape and go over the entire material again. Or there might be information that goes deeper into the material. For example, I've produced videos of instant and rapid inductions, and our students would like to buy that. They take it home and they can learn inductions that we didn't have time to go over in class. Or we have our Banyan Online Supervision Meeting CD audio set, which is really like an externship program where I'm able to go into the material much deeper than I'm able to go into class. So ask your instructor if supplementary materials are offered. Ask, does the instructor still see clients? How many sessions has the instructor done? If they don't still see clients, like, for example, if you have the opportunity to take a class from someone who's been in the business for 50 or 60 years and he's retired, this person has a huge amount of information. You can learn a lot from him, provided, you know, if it was like an Orman McGill or you know, a Jerry Valley or someone like that, you know. If Jerry Valley never did another stage hypnosis gig again, he could still teach a great course, okay? But if you've got someone that's been in the business for 5, 10, 15 years, and they're not a legend yet, they still need to be seeing clients. So ask, like I said before, how many clients do they personally see a week? How many have they seen, or how many sessions? That kind of thing. Do they supervise others? Have they ever run a supervision program? Do they have other hypnotists at their center that use what they teach? For example, at our center, we teach 5-path and 7-path. We hire our graduates to work in our center. We know that when someone goes from our classroom, they can walk right into the role of being a hypnotherapist, and then I supervise them once a week where I watch their videotapes and this kind of thing. Okay, ask the instructor, if they claim to have a degree, ask them where they got their degree from. Now, degrees are not required to be a good hypnotherapist or instructor, okay? But if they claim to have a DCH or PhD in hypnotherapy, guess what? I want to tell you something, and I know some of you are not going to like this, but they're not real. And you heard my talk, probably a previous podcast on that subject. I don't care if they read 47 books or 87 books or 347 books in some so-called PhD program. At least in the United States, I know that there's no such program. Not that is what they call regionally accredited, which means comes to the academic level of any real college or university. Those degrees are self-created, self-appointed degrees. If they claim to be accredited, they're not. They probably made up the accrediting organization themselves. Okay, that is simply not real. Ask them this. If they say, "Oh yeah, it's real," say this: would any of the time or credits that I would get at this university transfer into any other college or university? Do you know of that ever happening? You see? And they'll have to say, no, it doesn't. Because they just don't raise to that academic level. Okay. Appropriate degrees are that an instructor that you might have are degrees in medicine, counseling, social work, and psychology. Again, they're not required, but if they do, they should be real degrees. Ask, is there really a physical school or center somewhere, or do they just have a P.O. box? I spend time on the internet just like everybody else, and I research these trainers, and they'll have this beautiful picture of a building or a beautiful, artfully designed website that would imply that they have a building or a school. Ask them directly. You know, gosh, that beautiful building on your website, is that your school? And watch most people hem and haw, okay? Just, and you know, that's going to tell you a lot. When you start answering these questions, is this person coming across as honest, informed, and professional? If they do have a school, then ask, gosh, how many instructors are there? How many employees do you have? Okay, these are the kind of things that let you know about really the validity of that school. Ask, are they legally operating in the location where they teach? Ask, is your school recognized by the state or government body where you are? For example, in California, we have to be at least a registered school. We're a new school here, and so we're registered. But we were 10 years in Minnesota before that, and for 9 of those years or so, we were a state licensed school, which was the highest recognition we could get in that state. And as we are here in California, we intend to eventually get licensed here too. Ask by what organizations they are recognized and what kind of certification you'll get through them. Does it cost extra, or is it included in the price of the course? I've actually seen trainers get set up that would take someone through a course, offer a course, and then you got to pay another $100 or $200 to get certified, okay, to get your certification, your certificate, and to be hooked up with a professional organization. You know what? If you want to train with a trainer that does that, at least ask them ahead of time so you've got that $200 in your wallet so you can pull it out and pay for the certificate. Gosh, I got a lot to say here in 5 minutes. So moving on to the next question. Does the school offer ongoing support, free and or for an additional fee service? Call them and ask them, once I graduate, how do I get my questions answered if I have them? Can I call the instructor if I have questions? Is there someone there that can answer my questions when the professor or the instructor is not available? Who will I talk to? Ask, can I email you if I have questions? And who will answer my emails? How long does it usually take to answer an email? Are there support email groups? You see, we offer all these things. You can call me if you're a graduate. We have other people here who can answer your questions on phone or email. We have a special email support group set up for our graduates. Plus, we support about 5 or 6 other email groups for special interests in the field of hypnosis. Ask, are the support groups available via video conferencing? We have a virtual room on the internet where our students can come together in study groups and talk about certain things. Right now, one of our grads is providing leadership, and she meets with our other grads twice a month, and they are systematically going through my Banyan Online Supervision CDs topic by topic, and then sharing the information, discussing the information, and it's just been a great review for them. So ask if they have any kind of video conferencing study groups. Ask about organizational chapters. For example, when we were in Minnesota, and of course, as you probably all know, we've only been here for a couple months now, when we were in Minnesota, at our school, we hosted the Minnesota NGH chapter there so that our students, our graduates, have a place to go to meet with other hypnotherapists and get their ongoing continuing education. Our goal is right after the convention is we're going to then start the NGH chapter here for the Southern California or Orange County. I haven't figured out which we're going to do yet, but we intend to build one of the largest NGH chapters in the world right here in Southern California because it is such a great benefit to our students to be plugged into an organization like that. And also, what does it do? It gives us a chance to give them support. How about conventions like the NGH has? Ask the trainer, does your organization have huge conventions with lots of people coming. You see, we're getting ready to go to the convention in a couple of weeks. I hope to see you there. Yeah, there's going to be over 200 workshops over 3 days, plus pre and post convention workshops. Okay. I'm so happy I'm an NGH member. If I belong to some measly little organization that doesn't have conventions, I wouldn't have that open to me. Or, maybe 35 people show up for their organizational convention. You know, NGH, I'm 100% behind them. They are the best power in the field of hypnosis, from my point of view. That doesn't mean other organizations are bad. There's other organizations out there, and some of them are quite good, but the NGH is number one in my heart. Okay, what about marketing and business support after you graduate? Hypnotism is mostly an entrepreneurial exercise or enterprise. You see, what happens is that once you graduate, you're going to need to set up an office, and how are they going to help you do that? Most hypnotists don't get hired, but have a private practice. Will your school help you? Do they have materials that can help you to do that? Do they discuss how to set up an office, how to answer the phone, how to make appointments? Do they discuss how to do marketing to get your first clients? Very, very important. Does the school have an online directory for its grads? We have hypnosis-directory.com, where all of our grads, unless for some reason they don't want to be listed, are listed there. And so anyone looking for a 5-path certified hypnotherapist or a 7-path teacher in their area can just go to hypnosisdirectory.com and find out and get contact information right away. That's great for the public, and it's great for our grads. We've even had some grads say they don't even have to do any advertising. All the clients they wanted to see came from their link on that website. We've even gone a step further. Some graduates who want to get full-blown centers going, or they want to get going right away, we let them advertise on our website for a reasonable fee. And so if you want to, you could go to like hypnosiscenter.com, the Banyan Hypnosis Mall, and you'll see in the left-hand column, there is a number of hypnotists who are graduates of ours, and they have their picture or a name of their business on the left-hand column, and you click on there and a page will come up where it can describe their particular practice. And some of them even have interviews on there, testimonial letters, or even audio segments where they can talk. Does that instructor, does that trainer that you're looking for, ask them if they offer those kind of services. Gosh, it's a new century. Let's get training and work with professionals that can help us do that. All right. Gosh, I ran over a little bit here. Let me wrap it up. That wraps it up for this edition. I hope you'll come back for more. We've got more coming up. As a matter of fact, I can let you know that I've even got a guest or two in the future for us, just like I did on the last podcast. Okay, I hope you'll visit our websites where you'll learn all about our upcoming training, especially our NGH hypnotherapy certification training with 5-path and 7-path, and our Week of Power, which is the advanced training. It's at the NGH convention this year, and also once or twice a year here at our center. We got one coming up in October. Contact me if you have any questions or comments or topics you'd like me to talk about. My email address is calbanyan@hypnosiscenter.com. Again, that's calbanyan@hypnosiscenter.com, or call our office at 714-258-8380. Again, that's 714-258-8380. Until next time, it's Cal Banyan. Go out there and do something fantastic with hypnosis. Over and out. This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and Cal Banyan's Banyan Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without written permission.